The topic for today, what is predestination? Some people teach that God has determined ahead of time that only certain people will be saved. This teaching is referred to as predestination, but there are many ways to show that this is not a biblical teaching. First, two clear scriptures show what God's will is with regard to who will be saved. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4 says, God is the one who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. God's will is to save everyone, but many people will not choose to be saved. 2 Peter 3, verse 9 says that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So if someone is not saved, it is not God's will. It is due to their own choices. Two other scriptures make it clear that salvation is a choice that is left up to each individual. John 3:16 says that God sent Jesus so that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, if God had decided ahead of time that only certain people could be saved, then it would not be true that whosoever believed could have everlasting life. Revelation 22, verse 17 also says, whosoever will, let him take up the water of life freely. The water of life is not limited to only a predetermined few, but it is freely given to whosoever wants it. If whosoever wants it can have it, then it is up to each individual's choice as to whether he or she will have life. Next, we might ask what the term predestinated means. Well, let me say it a slightly different way. Predestinated. The word itself simply means that one is pre or before a destination. That is, that there is a destination set out for a person, but the person has not yet reached the destination. In ordinary language, we understand that if my destination is Little Rock, I may or may not reach that destination, depending on what happens along the way and the choices I make as I head for that destination. It is the same in spiritual matters. The destination is salvation, and every soul has a journey to make to arrive at that destination. As it says in 1 Peter 1:9, receiving the end of our faith, even the salvation of our souls. So we're on a trip, we're on a journey, we have a destination in front of us. At any time in that journey, a person can choose a different course and so fail to reach that destination. So let's look at the scriptures that actually use this word, predestinate. There are four of them. The first two are together, Romans 8:29 and 30. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate, to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. This pair of scriptures shows a process of salvation or glorification, with predestination being one step in the process. Like the journey we spoke of to Little Rock, none of these steps is predetermined, but a person makes choices at each stage as to whether he or she will continue in the journey. As the individual makes right choices, then God does his part by providing the things one needs to move on. The first step here is God foreknowing the individual. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19 says, the Lord knoweth them that are his, which means that God can know or have a spiritual relationship with people who choose to accept something that is of him. The individual is foreknown in that this is occurring before the depths of God's process have actually begun in the person's life. At this point, the person is predestinated, or in other words, they have begun to go toward the destination of eternal life, here referred to as being conformed to the image of his Son. Next, God will call a person, which means that he will decide what calling or job he wants the person to do. The many callings that God has are predetermined in that God wants to replace the workforce that he lost when Lucifer and the other angels sinned. If you would like to know more about that topic, write and ask. To do this, he intends to fill each position that an angel fell out of. The positions or callings are predetermined, but it is not predetermined which individuals will fill those positions. God will call an individual to do so, but then it is the person's own choice as to whether he or she will do what is required to become worthy of this calling. The remaining steps in those two scriptures occur as the person continues in God's process. As the person continues to choose God, God will continue to deal with the person until the person is justified, which means to be given life, and glorified, which means to be taken to God's glory depth of spirit. The important thing to note is that these things do not happen automatically, but only as a result of continued choices for God. Okay, the next scripture using the word predestinated. We go to Ephesians 1:5. Having predestinated us according to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Now this verse doesn't say that those who are predestinated will automatically become adopted children of God. For this to happen, one must choose to receive what Romans 8:15 calls the spirit of adoption. Adoption is the destination, but it is a person's choice as to whether he or she will reach that destination. The scripture before this, Ephesians 1:4, says that he, the Father, hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. Some may say that this means certain people were predetermined to have life even before God created the planet Earth. Instead, once we realize that the planet Earth does not rest on a natural foundation, then we can see that this world has to be the Christ world in our mind, which is built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. It tells us that in Ephesians 2:20. So, Ephesians 1:4, just like we had back in Romans 8:29, is saying that God foreknows and then chooses people to be presented with deeper spirit and truth before they actually come in contact with that deeper spirit and truth, the foundation of the Christ world. The last scripture that uses the word predestinated is Ephesians 1:11. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. This scripture merely says that God uses his counsel to achieve his purpose. His purpose is that of having a restored heaven and earth. And toward this end, he predestinates people, or in other words, that he sets a destination before them and they have not yet reached it. Nothing about this scripture implies that those who are predestinated will automatically arrive at their destination. So another question that many people have is, does God know all the future? Well, part of what confuses people on the subject of predestination is the false idea that God knows all our choices in advance because he sees all the future. Well, two passages show clearly that this is not true. The first one's in Genesis 6, verses 5 and 6. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. Now, the word repented means God thought again. He changed his mind on it. He wished he hadn't even made man because of the condition they were in. And this shows that God had not foreseen that man would turn to evil, for he repented that he had even made him. Had he known this when he created, it would have made no sense to say that he saw this had happened and then repented of having made man. Another scripture is Jeremiah 19:5 and also Jeremiah 32:35, which has very similar wording. They have built also the high places of Baal to burn their sons with fire for burnt offerings unto Baal, which I commanded not, neither spake it, neither came it into my mind. This scripture also shows that God did not foresee that Israel would begin to offer their children to an idol god, for he says it did not come into his mind that they would do such a thing. If God saw all the future, then it truly would have entered his mind that this was going to happen. So, God does not foresee all the future. Instead, like any good parent, he can see as we begin to make choices what direction we're heading. Thus, he has sent warnings through prophets to the effect that if people do not change their ways, then certain other things will happen. But this foreseeing only involves seeing the present and knowing what the outcome will be if people do not change. It does not involve seeing all the future as if all the choices had already been made. The Bible is filled with scriptures that show us the choice that God sets before us. It's life or death, blessing or cursing, salvation or damnation. If God had determined ahead of time who would be saved and who would not, it would be a waste of His Spirit to send prophets to tell us to make the right choices. But many scriptures show us that we do have choices to make. If you would like a more complete list of those scriptures, write us and ask. Well, another question then. What about Judas? Another related confusion, even among people who do not believe in predestination as it is commonly taught, is the idea that particular individuals, such as Judas, were predetermined to fulfill certain roles for God. The false teaching has it that God marked Judas, before Judas had even made any choices, to be the one to betray Christ. This is not the case, for Judas, like any other human being, had free moral agency. Some say Psalm 41:9 is a prophecy that Judas would betray Christ, so that Judas himself had no choice in the matter. Psalm 41:9 says, "Yea, mine own familiar friend, in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me." In fact, this only indicates that it would be someone close to Christ who would betray him. God knows how evil works, and He knows that when the time came for Christ to be turned over to the authorities, oh, evil would find someone willing to do the job. Thus, God could prophesy years in advance that someone close to Christ would betray him. But it was Judas himself that made himself Christ's betrayer by his own choices. If you read John chapter 12, verses 3 through 6, you will find that Judas took care of the money for the group of disciples following Jesus, and that in spite of being given this opportunity to realize that he needed to repent of greediness, he was still looking for ways to steal from the group's money bag. It was this refusal, his choice, not to repent of his greedy spirit, that evil was able to use him to get him to betray Christ for 30 pieces of silver, as we read in Matthew 26:15. Any of Jesus' many disciples could have been the one to fulfill the prophecy, but it was Judas by his own choice. His choices led him down the path to actual fulfillment of that. Teachers of false doctrine also point to scriptures such as John 13, verses 11 and 18, and John 6, 64, that show that Jesus knew in advance who would betray him, as evidence that Judas' betrayal of Jesus was completely beyond his control. This is not the case, for Jesus was only able to foresee this in the same way that God is able to foresee where a person is heading by the choices the person is currently making. Having spent time with the disciples, Jesus could feel the difference between one who really wanted God and one who did not. He could see the patterns of behavior and the choices Judas had made that would lead Judas to betray him. Well, what does this mean in our life? False doctrine always separates us from God or from those that we should love. The false teaching of predestination has no doubt been a source of hopelessness to many that have felt that they were not the chosen of God, and so they could never receive His promise. Others have felt a false sense of superiority, that they were better than others because they were chosen. Many have been caused to judge that God is unrighteous, a respecter of persons, in that He punishes or rewards individuals arbitrarily, without regard for any choices that they might make. This false teaching can also give people a convenient excuse for what they do. For if all is predetermined by God, no one has any choice in the matter or any responsibility for his or her life. But the truth can set us free, as we're told in John 8:32, when we know that God has a place in His heart and in His world for anyone who wants to know and serve Him. Whosoever will can take of the water of life freely and have everlasting life. There is a place for every one of us who wants God and wants life. God is not a respecter of persons. He wants us to choose Him, and He will reward us righteously according to our choices, as it says in Hebrews 11:6. He that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him.